There was a lady by the name of Mammy Adams, and she always went out of her way to go to the branch post office in her town because the postal employees at that branch were always very friendly to her. She went there to buy Christmas, to buy stamps just before Christmas, and the long lines were, the lines were especially long at that time because a lot of people were doing the same thing. So someone pointed out to her that there was no need to wait in line, that there was a machine out in the lobby where she could buy stamps. And she said, "I know, but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis." So these little acts of kindness can go a long way. When someone just pays a little bit of attention to you, you know how good that feels when they ask, sincerely ask how you're doing, and you have a chance to answer more than fine. You know, that makes a difference. Another story, a pastor once asked his congregation to perform one intentional act of kindness each day for a week. One man, at least one man, took it seriously. He bought coffee for a stranger, he wrote a thank you note to a co-worker, and he called his mother. But the moment that really changed him was when he decided that he would forgive someone who had wounded him deeply. That decision affected him in a great way. A tremendous weight fell from his conscience almost immediately. He said, "I realized kindness isn't something I do, it's someone I am becoming, someone a little bit more like Jesus." And that, I think, is kind of the what's happening in our lives, what should be happening in our lives as we see the fruits of the Spirit that are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23, which Bob is going to put up now. As we see these things, this is part of Jesus' transformation process in our lives, is to make these things become more and more evident in our lives, become part of us. Not things that we necessarily do, although we do them, but things that we are, that they become part of our identity. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is a fancy word for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And you can tell which one we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about kindness. Now, kindness is not biblical kindness. I think is way more than just random niceness or polite behavior. It's not just what we might call Midwest friendly, but we are talking about something that the Holy Spirit forms in our lives, something that reflects the heart of Jesus. As I've already mentioned, Christian kindness is not something that we perform, it is something that we become. It flows from what we believe about God. Who we think he is, how we relate to him, what his characteristics are, and how we then in turn act because of what we believe, how obedient we are, how much we reverence him, how much we desire to please him. It is who kindness is part of who we are becoming as we are being transformed into the image of Christ. Now, all of those fruits of the Spirit that are listed up there, they don't grow in our lives by us trying harder. They grow in our lives by us being committed to remaining in the vine, by being committed to being in relationship with Jesus. And as our relationship with Jesus increases, these fruits will become a product of that. It's evidence that Christ is being formed in us and that Jesus is living his life through us. Jesus came to earth, which we celebrated this past week at Christmas time, to make mankind right with God. He came to reconcile us, to make things right. In John chapter 18, we have a scene where Jesus is before Pilate. This is just shortly before he's going to go to the cross. He's being questioned by Pilate. Pilate is asking him, who are you? Why are you doing these things? Who gives you this authority? What's going on? And Pilate is wondering, as the people are saying, you know, this is kind of a, there's a movement afoot that the people want to make Jesus king. And so Pilate is questioning, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus was not born to become an earthly king. He came to earth to become the king of your heart, the king of his kingdom. And Jesus came to make the truth of what he is offering known to us, to make the freedom-giving truth that he offers known to everyone, that if they would turn to Jesus, they could find forgiveness of their sins, they could have everlasting life. And when we understand that, when we know what Jesus did on our behalf and accept it, we are reconciled. And we walk into the light, we walk into the truth, we are made right with God. That is the kindness of God. He didn't have to do that, but he took tremendous steps to reconcile us, to make us right with him. He left his throne in glory to be born as a baby, to live as a man, to die on a cross. That is the kindness of God. A couple of years ago at the men's Bible study, we used a curriculum called the Engagement Project. And it was about engaging our world with the truth that Jesus was offering, with the truth of Christianity. And one of the concepts that we talked about was encapsulated in the Hebrew word hesed. It is a biblical word for kindness, but more than what we might think of just as kindness, it also includes in it the concepts of mercy, of compassion, of love, of grace, of faithfulness, and of kindness. None of those words alone capture the whole meaning of this word. This is a word which is often attributed to the character of God. And it is a word that is that God wants us to bring into our lives and to model it. It also involves not only just the concept of those words, but those words, compassion, love, faithfulness, kindness, being put into action. So this word is both a noun and a verb. It cries out for action, not just to be learned, but to be put into practice. Hesed is very much what God exhibited to us when he sent Jesus to earth to die for us. It describes a sense of love, and when I think about love, I'm talking about sacrificial service. I'm not talking about Hallmark movies. It's that kind of love and loyalty that inspires, that should inspire us to reflect that to other people, to be compassionate and merciful toward other people. The word hesed is found some 250 times in the Bible, and it is usually used to express God's character. One time, for instance, when God appeared to Moses, when God was going to give Moses the Ten Commandments for the second time. So this is after already the people of Israel had rebelled against God. They had turned their back on God. They had worshiped. They were worshiping an idol that they had made. But God was going to give them yet another chance. He was going to display his hesed toward them. In your Bible, this is found in, you don't have this, Bob, it's found in Exodus chapter 34. But in your Bible, the word there for hesed is translated, depending on your translation, as love and faithfulness, or unfailing love, faithful love, steadfast love, or loyal love, depending on what translation you might be reading. But the core idea of this communicates God's loyalty and his faithfulness within a relationship. He had made a covenant with the people of Israel, and he would not break it. He was being faithful to his covenant. That faithfulness, I think, describes biblical kindness. So, God is kind. And I think that idea is also summarized for us in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? When we understand, when we kind of try to grasp how good, how kind, how powerful, how mighty, how majestic God is, and that he pays attention to us as human beings, I think it should stir up in us a desire to turn to him, to worship him, to want to be in relationship with him. If to go to this, the extent that he went to be in relationship with us, don't you want to be in relationship with him? And it's that kindness toward us, that patience, that grace, that should lead us to repentance. And repentance is simply turning to God, turning away from the world, turning away from the things that would take us away from God, and turning to God. It is the kindness of God that convinces us to turn to him, to abide in him, and to want to become more like him. While God's faithful love, his hesed, is eternal and limitless, I think we too as humans can emulate that somewhat in our lives, especially as the Holy Spirit works in us and through us, and we become vessels of God's hesed. None of the fruit of the Spirit is to be hoarded. The more that we share it, the more that we allow it to flow through our lives, the more it grows in our lives. If we try to, you know, if for some reason at all we think that it's just for my benefit, that I can be a better person, it becomes like a stagnant pool. But as it flows through us, it becomes, you know, a lively, healthy, flowing river. The Bible is filled with examples of people who displayed this kind of kindness. The one that came to my mind, the first of all, of course, is the story of the Good Samaritan, how this man who had, for no reason at all, that he was obligated to help this man who was wounded by the side of the road, he took time out of his busy schedule, out of his own resources, money, and took care of this man who had been injured. We think about Jonathan, who risked his life to protect his friend David. There's Ruth's commitment and kindness to Naomi, and then Boaz's commitment and kindness to Ruth. Abraham was kind when strangers showed up. He fed them. He set aside his own schedule to take care of these strangers. I especially also think of Joseph, who had been betrayed by his brothers, but then at the end shows his brothers great kindness, takes care of their needs, and forgives them. We have David with Mephibosheth. We even have Job's friends. Although Job's friends didn't always give Job the best advice, They sat with him for a long time and tried to comfort and console him. And then, of course, we have Jesus. He always had time for the sick and the hungry, for the outcasts. Think about the woman at the well, or Zacchaeus, who was frowned upon because of his stature and because he was a tax collector. His continual patience with his own disciples, who just didn't get it, but he continued to work with them and to show them kindness. And then perhaps his greatest kindness is his continual patience with us, that he never turns his back on us. God's kindness, I think, is one of the key drivers of transformation in our lives. And when we share kindness with other people, it can be a driver of transformation in their lives. Just the smallest kind word or kind act can make a tremendous difference in somebody's life and maybe even turn them to the Lord. God's kindness is to be active and is active and intentional for our benefit, even at times when we don't think it is. There are those times in life when we might not agree with what we think God is doing in our lives, but we can trust that God knows what he is doing, that what he is doing is best. God's kindness is not always warm and fuzzy. Sometimes it can be tough. Sometimes kindness can be hard. Let's take a look at Psalms 141, verse 5. This is David talking. And David had those periods in his life when he needed correcting. And he said this: "Let a righteous man strike me, that is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, that is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of the evildoers." David here understood that for someone to correct him was a kindness, that it was something that would benefit him. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." Sometimes we need to watch out for each other. Sometimes we need to give each other some correction, some advice. So I think kindness is a willingness to be involved when God directs. However, God does not ever call us to meddle or to manipulate or to micromanage. Sometimes allowing consequences to play out in another person's life is the kindest thing that we can do. It is part of God's loving plan. It is his kindness. So it takes wisdom to know when we should step in, when we should step back. But God says that if we ask him for wisdom, he will grant it. I think Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5 kind of illustrate the complexity of knowing what to do sometimes. It says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him." But then the very next verse says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." So which is the right thing to do? Do you answer a fool or don't you answer a fool? Oliver North said, "Whenever you fight with a skunk, win or lose, you come out stinking." So it's not easy. It's not easy sometimes, but the answer is ask God for wisdom and then wait. Waiting can be so hard to do, especially when we see someone who we think needs our advice. So sometimes, though, the Lord just says, until you are sure, just wait and pray. So it's also been said that kindness is love with its work boots on. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." I think when we put this against the backdrop of what Christ has done for us in forgiving us, it gives a whole new meaning to the level of kindness and compassion that we should have for each other and the willingness we should have to forgive one another, to think that God completely forgave you for everything you ever did, for everything you're ever going to do. God's forgiveness is complete and perfect in every one of those situations. And he asks us to extend that to others. Kindness is Christ's character being formed in us. And when it comes to doing these things, we need to be intentional. We need to understand that at times it can be costly. It can be inconvenient. It is never to be self-centered or self-focused, but it is to be focused on others. And the way that we can ensure that all of that takes place is by relying on the Holy Spirit, to be continually enhancing our relationship with Jesus, to be that branch that is firmly connected to the vine. God's kindness is steadfast even when his people are unfaithful to him, and that is to be an example to us. Biblical kindness surpasses ordinary kindness and friendship, and it's what we sing about when we sing Amazing Grace. It is one of those things that doesn't make human sense. It is amazing. The message of the gospel, God's act of forgiveness and salvation in Jesus, is rooted in kindness. The love of God extends far beyond any duty or expectation. God's kindness is manifested in forgiveness and makes relationship with him possible. That forgiveness comes to us freely as a gift from God based on the sacrificial act of Jesus. So, three practical things I think that we can do to reflect the kindness of Jesus in our lives is to be aware of our surroundings. Just to, when we wake up in the morning, ask the Lord, help me to see things with your eyes. Help me to see people as you see them. Jesus noticed the people that were around him that others overlooked or that others purposely looked the other way. There was Zacchaeus in the tree. There was the woman at the well. There was the leper laying by the roadside. Jesus saw all of these people and took steps to be kind toward them when everybody else ignored them. So, kindness begins with paying attention. Kindness is also willing to be interrupted. Most of Jesus' miracles occurred when he was on his way to do something else. When the woman came up behind him and touched his robe, the diseased woman, he was on his way somewhere else. When he met with the woman at the well, they were on their way through Samaria. He was willing to be inconvenienced. He was ready to be used. So, kindness takes that into consideration. Kindness is not only looking, being aware of your surroundings, but then willing to be interrupted and to do something about it. And then to remember that kindness is restorative. Jesus did not just heal people. He did not just feed people for the sake of their health or their stomachs. He healed them and he fed them and he ministered to them to bring them to God, to restore them to relationship with God, to direct them to God. So the best thing that we can do for someone else to be a true friend is to help them in their relationship with God. Not just to be kind in helping them with a project or something, but to be in fellowship with them and to share life with them and to spur them on to love and good deeds, to be there to enhance their relationship with God. Now, we as a church I think that we are, one of the things that impresses me the most is the kindness and the fellowship that I see exhibited through this church. When people hang around after church, when people talk, when they take care of each other, when they visit together, that warms my heart. And I think that it is a great demonstration of kindness. So by practicing these things and practicing them in greater and greater measure, I think that we can be a church where every person feels seen, where every person feels accepted and wanted, that we can be a church where compassion for others is the normal thing. When we ask, when we ask that question, how can I help? And we can be a church where the kindness of God is unmistakable. I think those things are not to be, you know, warm and fuzzy, not to be naive, not to be weak. But I think that we can do those things with Christ-like power. God is in the business of changing lives. God wants to change this world. And he is the only hope that this world has. So this week then, ask the Lord, who do you want me to notice? Who needs a touch of your kindness? And then, as much as you are able, step in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your tremendous kindness to us, that you considered us worthy of your love, that you considered us worthy of dying for. What is man that you are mindful of him? And yet, Lord, you are. We give you thanks for that. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to be kind toward others. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.